Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
So recently, Eric and I got the chance to make a guest appearance on the No Filter podcast hosted by comedian and writer Zach Peter.
Yes, some of you guys might remember The Daily Dish was featured in an entertainment podcast roundup on Pop Sugar, and Zach was the one who wrote the article.
For the episode, we got the chance to recap the top 10 Bravo headlines of 2019.
We talked about topics like the Vanderpump Rules cast, growing up and buying homes, Countess Luann's cabaret performances, of course, Bethany Frankel leaving the cast of Real Housewives of New York City, and if we think that Lisa Vanderpump will ever return to the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
We were actually bartenders during Lisa Vanderpump's last appearance on Watch What Happens Live as a Real Housewife, so we had a lot to say about that topic.
You guys will get to hear a little bit of what Ken Todd said to us that night that pretty much hinted that she was going to be leaving the show.
Plus, we also debate, which may have been my favorite topic, which housewife has the hottest husband.
Let's take a listen to that interview.
You're listening to Hashtag No Filter with Zach Peter. That's me, your sassy source for lifestyle advice, wellness tips, and pop culture dish. I'm the reality TV junkie, self-improvement addict, and holistic hustler here to help you get your shit together and laugh through all the chaos of life in your 20s. If you're not doing so already, go and give me a follow at Just Plain Zach for really funny Instagram stories, adorable memes, and really cute selfies. So we've officially entered the holiday season, and to celebrate, we're highlighting Santa's greatest gift to the world, which is Bravo TV. It's Bravo Week here at Hashtag No Filter. So all week long, I'm going to be bringing on reality TV junkies here to dish on all the gems from a Bravo land. And what better way to kick things off than with the hosts of The Daily Dish themselves? Please welcome my very special guests, Eric McIntyre and Megan Segura. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you guys?
Fabulous. How are you?
Good.
How is the East Coast weather treating you?
Oh.
Too cold. I'm not happy.
I mean, it's like 65 in LA and I'm freezing. I feel like I'm in a snowstorm.
Stop bragging.
It's like 35 here.
Oh, I don't. I'm not jealous. I'm in my cozy, warm apartment right now. Today's drink of the week is a cranberry mojito ho ho, which can be found in my new Hack Your Hangover Holiday Survival Guide, filled with tips, tricks, and recipes to help you slay all day this holiday season. It's a fresh mojito with a festive twist of cranberry, sweetened with pure cane, and it's oh so yummy. You guys can download it now for free at theadultingpodcast.com. All right, Eric, Megan, are you guys ready? Because I feel like we're at the end of the year. And I wanted to do a recap of the top 10 biggest headlines from Bravo Land. And since you guys are always like, you have the tea hot and ready to spill on The Daily Dish, I feel like you guys would be the best equipped to help me break down the biggest news stories.
That sounds great.
I'm excited.
Are you ready?
I think so.
Okay, why don't we kick the first one off? So BravoCon just happened and you guys were there, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I feel like it was so hyped up online and everybody, especially all of us here on the West Coast, were like, oh my God, we want to get, like, it's Bravo's first, like, big IRL event and so many Bravo celebrities were there. Would you say that it lived up to all of the hype?
I mean, I would say absolutely. It really ended up being such a major success. And, you know, going in, a lot of us, we really didn't know what to expect because it was the first one ever. So we were like, what is this going to be like? You know, you really never know until you're on the ground and you're there and you're kind of in the energy and you see all of the people who are attending and you see all the Bravo celebrities. So we were super hyped, I mean, going into it regardless, because we had our very first ever live show on Saturday, which was so amazing and such a huge thing to happen for our podcast, you know, being at one of the biggest Bravo events basically of all time. I mean, I will say the Watch What Happens Live show on Friday was probably the biggest Bravo event of all time, but BravoCon was, you know, a part of that.
Yes. So were there any, like, Bravo celebrities that you got to meet that you had not met yet? Because you interview a pretty wide range of Bravo celebrities on your podcast, but was there anybody that you were either excited to meet or that you were pleasantly surprised meeting at BravoCon?
I feel like I've met everyone beforehand because we do have people coming on the podcast so often, except I think this is my first time meeting Captain Sandy Yon.
Oh.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think I had not met, I hadn't met a lot of the Vanderpump Rules cast at that point, but like there were so many of them there that I hadn't met a lot of them, you know, individually. So to have them all in one place was really convenient. So I think I rounded out my entire Vanderpump Rules cast, which was amazing.
Did they mix up any cocktails for you? Any fancy AF cocktails?
I think they were mixing up a lot of cocktails at the after parties. So when I got to interview them, Megan and I did on-camera interviews during the day, like in between panels. I think they were cocktailed out when we were interacting with them. Because like, I remember talking to Stassi and I was like, how are you doing? And she was like, I'm so hungover.
So what would you say, because you guys interviewed so many of them, what would you say was like the juiciest piece of tea that you got, or yeah, the juiciest cup of tea that you got from that weekend?
Ooh. Okay, I can't say who, sorry, but one of the Southern Charm guys threw a major fit behind the scenes at Bravo. Kicked the door, upset.
Is there any reason, like, why were they upset about, like, something that didn't go their way? Or did they get rejected by a fan?
I think they were... no, God, I don't think so. I think it was more, like, upset with, maybe annoyed with security. Mm. Like, that they weren't getting... They were kind of keeping them from the fans a little bit, I think.
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was it.
See, Southern Charm people love their fans.
The only bit of tea that I got, which wasn't really tea, it was actually something that I thought was really, really nice. When I was interviewing Dorinda, I asked about like who the hottest house husband was. And Ooh. She actually answered Margaret Joseph's husband, Joe.
Really?
Yes. And I was like, I mean, I reacted the same way that you did. I was like, what? Because I love Joe. But like when I think house husbands, he's not up there.
No.
So I was like, tell me more about that, Jordan. And she was like, look, the way he treats Margaret, I'm very close with them. I just adore them. And I actually saw Margaret at the Daily Mail holiday party last week. And I mentioned to her, I was like, I just have to tell you this really nice thing that Dorinda said. And Margaret was like, oh my God, that's so nice. I can't believe she said that. I love Dorinda. She's amazing. And I was just like, oh, I love able to like eat that. So not really tea, but I thought it was a really nice little thing that
I love that.
To Margaret. Yeah. Okay.
What would be each of your answers? Or go ahead, Megan, and then answer that.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that's interesting to me because Joe couldn't look more different than John Medesian. So it's interesting.
Right?
Her pick.
He's so little. Right. So who would be your picks?
Oh, my God. Well, I actually, I think Evan Goldschneider, Jackie from Jersey's husband, is on the rise as a hot house husband. And I remember on the podcast calling it out to Megan last season, on her first season. I was like, look, we got a glimpse at Evan. I think we have a new hot house husband. I'm not sure. And now this season, I'm telling you, I think he's on the come up.
Oh, he's like probably my top pick at the moment. Like, I feel like Mauricio is the hottest one, but like now I feel like Mauricio is a little overrated. Megan, who would be your pick?
Okay. It's now between Denise Richards' husband, Aaron.
Oh, I forgot about
him. Yes. And I've always been a Harry Hamlin fan. So like, there's something about him that really does it for me. But then I would also just say I kind of am into a Mr. Girardi type situation. Like, I don't know. I just feel like he would take care of me. He's so supportive.
So we have daddy issues we're working through.
Yes, exactly. Is what I'm trying to say.
Oh my God, I love it. So is there any teasers that you can give me about like another BravoCon? Maybe it may be coming like west or back to the East Coast at some point? Or was this like a one-time wham-bam, thank you, ma'am?
I mean, I don't think we honestly know at this point, but I can't imagine that after what we saw a few weeks ago, that there wouldn't be another iteration of it at some point in the future.
Yeah.
Yes, I think conversations are being had. Like right now they're assessing, like, how did this one go? And I will say that I just think that everyone in the Bravo offices has been kind of blown away by how well it went, you know? And
yeah.
Just like, we're very impressed by our fans.
Well, I'm impressed. I saw all the photos and I saw all the videos and I listened to all the clips from the panels and it was very, very juicy. I think I heard that Bravo like really hit it out of the park for its first year. So I hope that there's one. And I hope that it comes to the West Coast. I mean, I'll gladly fly to New York for it, but I would love for it to be here in LA. So while we are on the West Coast, I need to talk to you guys about Vanderpump Rules, okay? So they've made a lot of headlines, so I decided we'll just give them their own kind of bullet point number 9. And that's that they're basically all growing up. Like, they're getting engaged, they're getting married, they're buying homes. Like, Jax and Brittany got married, Stassi and Beau are now going to get married, probably, hopefully, next year, if not the year after. And then they're all getting, like, these gorgeous million-dollar homes. What do you guys think about everybody growing up on the cast? How do you think that changes the show?
I know for me, like, I was a little nervous. Like, obviously, getting to know them behind the scenes, you're happy for them as people that they're growing up and that they're, like, settling down. But as a fan of the show, which I am, I'm obsessed with, I was like, dear God, like, I don't want the drama to go away. But what I will say is, based on the season premiere, I don't think we have anything to worry about.
Have you seen it yet?
So they showed it at BravoCon.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now I'm excited. What do you guys think about go ahead.
I was just going to say, and I think that us introducing a few younger servers will also keep things spicy.
Eric, what do you think of the new cast? Do you think that fans are going to still, or do you think that they're going to win over all of the fans that already watched the show, since we've grown up watching Ariana and Tom and Jax and Stassi?
I know. I mean, I think, you know, so many of the cast members have such a special place in our hearts because we have seen them grow up so much and change in the last couple of seasons. But I have been keeping my eyes on that gentleman, Brett, who's a new cast member, for quite some time. Like, I was watching, you know, I mean, I was looking on Instagram and seeing who
liking
was tagging
the thirst
who.
Traps.
When they were doing all of these, like, the brand shoot and, like, the opening credits shoot, I was watching who James Kennedy was, like, tagging. So I made sure to kind of track some of these people before it was necessarily officially announced. But, you know, I think with something like Vanderpump Rules, it's always nice to bring in some fresh blood and to have some new characters to meet. And just, it opens up the opportunity for new drama because, you know, so many of the cast members, they are doing that, like, LA version of growing up, which is like buying property in the Valley, you know? So it's kind of like, we do need to have some fresh faces there to keep things spicy.
Oh my God, I love it. They're turning into Eddie Cibrian and Leon Rimes buying a house in the Valley.
right. And actually, you know, you know what? A funny little bit of tea from Bravo when I was talking to Stassi is I asked her, I said, you know, with everybody moving up to the Valley, you know, what is that like? Whose house is your favorite to go visit and all of that? And they were talking about hanging out with, you know, Tom and Katie and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, what about Tom and Ariana? Like, I know that they have a really great backyard. They have a really cool pool. Like, do they have any parties back there? And Stassi was like, actually, they don't really invite Beau and I over very often.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, really? And she was like, yeah, it's kind of interesting. Like, I, you know, I'm not really sure. I haven't been there in a while. And I didn't want to prod too much, but it was sort of like, girl, what's going on there? So maybe there's going to be something we see this season that relates to that comment.
Who's your favorite couple on the show? I feel like they're all booed up now.
Oh, Megan, who's yours?
okay, because I'm now obsessed with Bo, I'd probably say him and Stassi.
Yes, I love Bo.
He's adorable.
I mean, I think I would have to say Tom and Ariana, only because
really
of, well, only because of like all of them that I've interacted with, I have spent more time with the two of them. And so I like, you know, when you kind of have more of a personal connection to someone, you might like feel closer to them. But I also have like a really weird soft spot in my heart for like James Kennedy and Raquel. Like, I can't explain it.
That's it. You are canceled. Swipe left. No way, Jose.
I know. I'm like, and the cheese stands alone, Aaron.
It's just like her doe eyes. Like, I don't know what it is. There's something that I'm just like, I'm weirdly rooting for them. I don't know.
Okay, let's move into number 8. Let's go back to the East Coast. Real Housewives of New York. Let's talk about Luann's sobriety and her cabaret comeback. So have any of you seen any of her cabaret shows yet?
So actually, I was at not the very first one, but the one where they filmed for the season finale a couple seasons ago. We actually, you know, Megan and I, in addition to the podcast, we are part of the BravoTV.com like digital team. And there were a couple extra tickets that were under our department for that show. And one of our coworkers was like, oh my God, let's go. And I said, okay, hell yeah, I'd love to go see Luann's cabaret. And at that time it was like, you know, the 54 Below, and it was a lot of like really major Broadway stars that came through. Laura Benanti. I mean, Rachel Dratch was there. You guys, I mean, everyone saw it on TV, you know, Sonia Flash Your Butt. Like, it was amazing. It was so much fun. And just to see how far Luann has come, even now with her tour and everything. Like, I remember days when she was like performing at Macy's, you know, on like a 9-foot by 9 stage.
Yeah.
And being like, there are some great sales here today at Macy's, you know, and then to see her be able to accomplish something like this, like, regardless of what you think of Luann, like, that's pretty amazing.
Oh my God. I need a video of her performing at Macy's talking about the sales.
I'm telling you, it went viral like right before Thanksgiving because people were like talking about, you know, Black Friday, Macy's sales or whatever. And it was like, I don't know if it got picked up on Instagram or if it was maybe on Reddit that I saw it, but I saw the video and I was like, wow, how far we have come.
So, Megan, what do you think about all the ladies that were kind of giving her shit last season, saying that she had a god complex and saying that her ego had gotten so big? Do you think that she really did have that big of an ego that came from the cabaret, or do you think it's always kind of been there for Luann?
You know, I regularly go back to the beginning of all of our franchises, and I like to give them a rewatch. And I do think that Luann has always had this. People have always viewed her as thinking she's superior, right? Like, it was always the Countess thing, and they felt like she was putting on a facade with her marriage to the Count and all of that. So I do think that there has always been that element with Luann. And I think she is feeling herself right now. Like, we do have to understand that she had such a rough road with, you know, getting arrested and then the having to go to rehab. So, like, of course she's kind of glomming on to this success. So I get both sides, I think.
Okay, so let's switch over to OC for number 7. I want to talk about Megan Edmonds and her split from her bae and how Vicky kind of predicted that this relationship was going to crumble. Did you guys expect this breakup to happen? And what do you think about Vicky's psychic powers, Megan?
You know, I always felt like there was something that we weren't seeing when they were on the show between them. Like, it seemed like something was missing from the relationship. But it's also hard to know that someone like Jim Edmonds, maybe you never just knew if he was uncomfortable filming, which definitely happens sometimes. Vicky being psychic, I mean, she wasn't all that psychic when it came to Brooks, but I think it could be just a little bit of a coincidence, maybe. I was at the OC reunion taping, and I asked everyone backstage, you know, have you talked to Megan? Because the news had hit just like 2 days before, and they all are sort of reaching out to her and making sure she's okay, which I thought was really great.
What do you guys think about Vicky getting demoted to a friend? Do you think that as an OG, she deserved that? Will her little ultimatum be shaking things up next season? What's your take on Vicky, Megan?
I wasn't totally surprised, I guess, that, I mean, I think that for fans, it's like a big, because she is the OG of all of our franchises. But I just think sometimes our shows need a little bit of a shakeup.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I sort of have enjoyed whether this is right or not, like just watching sort of how everyone's reacted to this, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and also with Vicky last season, you know, I think we saw a bit of a change in her, and we've seen a bit of a change in her since she got with Steve. And she's a little bit more reserved, and she's like, I'm a grandma, I don't want to whoop it up anymore. And I think a lot of the things that drew people in Vicky, we're not totally seeing the same Vicky that we once did. So it's kind of understandable. And I mean, as much as she may have been demoted friend, you know, she still has been a huge part of this season in terms of, you know, I keep saying that Tamara's the pot stirrer, but like the more we go into the season, I'm like, well, maybe it really is Vicky. I don't know. So at least we still have a pretty strong presence with her this season.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a strong presence from her at the reunion too. Oh. I mean,
true.
At BravoCon, I asked Andy, you know, like, who did you think was, you know, the MVP of this reunion? Because I definitely thought it was Vicky, and he said the same thing.
I love all the, like, the teasers you guys are giving. There's so much tea to come. Okay, so let's talk about another big, well, actually, there were two big exits this year from the Housewives franchises that made a lot of headlines. First up was Bethany from Real Housewives of New York. How do you think Bethany leaving is going to affect the upcoming season? Eric, we'll start with you.
Wow. Yeah, well, interestingly enough, I was also, when I was at BravoCon, at the Roni panel, and the same question came up to the women, and Ramona went right for the, well, I think this season is going to be better without Bethany.
Of course.
And I was like, whoa, and the audience, you know, definitely had a mixed reaction to that, because Bethany is a fan favorite, mm-hmm. and I love Bethany. I mean, she honestly, everyone on that show in their own way makes me laugh, especially people, you know, like Sonia, even Ramona, but like Bethany makes me laugh in such a different way.
Yeah.
So I will definitely, definitely miss her presence on the show. But, you know, a lot of people keep saying we've had the show without her before. You
yeah.
know, she has left in the past and she's come back, whatever. Who knows what will come in the future. But I think with the cast that we have now, plus the new housewife that's coming on, Leah, you know, I think we have to give it a shot. And Roni is truly one of the best shows on television. So like, with or without Bethany, like, we will carry on.
It's funny. It has drama. It has like so many different components to it that just really make it a great show. Megan, do you think Bethany will ever come back to the franchise, or do you think at this point she's like dunzos? Because she wasn't even at BravoCon.
Right. Yeah. I'm curious too, you know, if she would. I think she just has a lot going on, and maybe someday, I never say never, but I will say that for me, it wasn't as necessarily devastating as like Alyssa Vanderpump leaving Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, only because I feel like Lisa still has so many unresolved issues with everyone, but Bethany kind of left on an okay note, you know? Like, yeah. I feel like we had closure as fans.
Yeah. Well, let's actually talk about Lisa and the whole doggy gate on Beverly Hills. What did you guys think about the storyline last season with doggy gate and Lisa not showing up to the reunion and kind of cutting out the cast? Do you think that there's any closure that may come from that?
Well, if closure comes from it, I think it's going to happen off camera between Lisa and the other women. But what's really interesting about last season and Puppygate and everything that Lisa went through. So Megan and I kind of had this weird journey with Lisa last season where we interviewed her when Vanderpump Rules had first started and before Beverly Hills started airing, but the teaser had come out. And Megan asked Lisa, like, what did you think about the super tease for the new season of Beverly Hills? Because it was major with the huge fight between her and Kyle and all this stuff. And Lisa was like, well, I haven't actually watched it. And we were like, really? And she was like, no, I just, like, I had a really rough time, a really rough year. I have no interest in, you know, watching that. And we were like, wow. And then maybe, you know, into the season, about halfway, we were guest bartenders on Watch What Happens Live. And Lisa was the guest. And we didn't totally know it at the time, but that was her last appearance on Watch What Happens Live as a housewife, technically. So even when we saw her backstage, she's like, oh, hey, how are you guys, whatever, you know? And, like, she made some kind of passing comment that was just sort of, like, you know, hinting that it was sort of the end of her run on Housewives. And Ken was backstage and said something, too. So, you know, it was just interesting to have not necessarily Lisa's perspective through the whole experience, but being able to get these, like, clues from her personally along the way. And it kind of made us watching this season, you know, see it maybe in a bit of a different light, I guess.
So were you, you weren't surprised when she announced that she wouldn't be at the reunion?
Well, I was at the taping and it, like, no one, yes, she had said to the, I think it was the Daily Mail, that she wasn't going to be going. But I will say that everyone in production was like, it could happen still. Like, they were all sort of waiting for her to be like, never mind, here I am. And yeah. All of the women, like, the energy when they were on the couches and in between, like, filming would say to Andy, like, you better give us a warning if she comes. So it was interesting.
Were you team Lisa or team everybody else that season with the whole doggy gate?
Oh my God. I was team Apple, Juicy, Lucy. What was the dog's name?
Lucy, Lucy, I just Apple wanted, Juice.
Yes, I just wanted the dog to be okay. I mean,
yeah.
I have a really difficult time picking sides in a lot of situations, and it's just part of my nature and my character of being like, well, I can see it this way and I can see it this way, you know, right. Which I think is a good thing, but can be a bad thing. So it was just, for me, by the time we got to the end of the season, I was just so sick and tired of talking about Puppygate that I was just sort of like, I just want it to be over. I don't care how it ends. Let's just end it, you know?
Yeah. Okay, let's move up to number 4, Real Housewives of OC, Gina. What did you guys think when news broke of her DUI? Was that shocking?
Well,
I think it was the...
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think it was... It's always surprising to hear something like that. And especially Gina, like, has never been someone who... Like, if you were to guess, you know, who that would happen to, I would never say Gina.
Yeah. I agree. I was,
but I feel like she handled it really well.
She did. She seems to have recovered from it fairly well. Like, it didn't really knock her down or like get her to like run away from the show or from the press. Like, she really kind of took accountability and ownership and pushed through it.
Yeah. Well, and I think when, you know, we started talking about it as we saw it all unfold on the show, Megan and I were like, we kind of, not that we forgot the severity of what it means to get a DUI, but like, we didn't really, you hear about it in the news when it happens to celebrities or whoever, like, they get DUIs. I mean, looking back at like 2007 was just like the year of like celebrity DUIs and celebrity. Yeah. Right. So it's just like, you're almost like numb to it and you don't really see, you see the headlines, but you don't see the repercussions. So this season we've been able to really see the repercussions of what this means for Gina. And it's like, it's making her, you know, really it's challenging the way she raises her kids. She has to Uber everywhere, and it's sort of like people are like, oh, well, she has to Uber, who cares? But it's just, you really see the impact that it has on someone like her, who not only is she like a mom, but she's going through this divorce with Matt, and then she has this to deal with on top of everything else. So it's just like she's having a really rough go of it, but I think it's important to see how she's dealing with it. And overall, I mean, I think she is doing pretty well.
Yeah, she really, yeah, she, if there's any example of somebody to be like going through such a rough time and to be moving through it as best as you can for your family and to watch that journey on TV, she's definitely, I agree, she's handling it very, very well. Okay, let's move to Atlanta. Let's talk about Portia and Dennis, this whole cheating scandal. What do you guys think of Dennis, Megan? Are you a fan of Dennis?
Well,
is he in your top three housewives' husbands?
Okay, no, I will not go that far. I will say, though, I was devastated when they first announced their split because I had just finished watching Portia's spinoff, and they just were really cute together, and he was so funny and so supportive of her. Now it's like this very big question mark of what actually happened to make them break up. Like, we're sort of going through it this season with Portia, and I'm like, wait, but what happened exactly? Was it just the cheating or was there more? So, I mean, we do know that they're together right now. So, whatever it was, wasn't completely unforgivable.
What do you think, Eric? Once a cheater, always a cheater? Or is there real hope for these two?
Well, you know, I was extremely hesitant of Dennis at first. And even as last season played out and then the baby special, like, I was like, this was all happening within the span of a single year, really. And by the end of the baby special, like Megan said, I had really kind of warmed up to Dennis. And I was kind of like, okay, I think that they can make this work. And then the news broke and all of this sort of stuff. And I was just like, oh my God. I wasn't totally, I guess, like shocked by it. But I just felt so bad for Portia because I thought, like, she thought that she had really figured it all out and that she really had something great going for her. And she did. And then it all kind of fell to pieces. But, you know, we do know that she's back with Dennis at this point. They are re-engaged. She announced it on Watch What Happens Live. And what's also funny is that she brought it up at the Atlanta panel at BravoCon, and she got booed by the audience when she mentioned that she was back with Dennis. So I think the general sentiment around him is kind of negative at this point, because what we're seeing on air right now is the aftermath. And we're seeing Portia like really upset, going to therapy. She's crying. She's, you know, she's in such a raw emotional place on the show. So it's kind of understandable, but it will be interesting to see how they come back together and what we're going to see play out through the rest of the season.
Yeah, that's going to be a real, I think, because the fan, like, as viewers, we like love the housewives and we always want to root for the housewives, that anytime somebody does anything wrong to them, like, sure, we can take teams and sides when there are spats between them on camera. But if it's an outsider coming in and hurting them, then it's like, don't you dare come for my housewife. Don't you come for my Portia.
Right. It's true.
Okay, let's talk about Michael Darby. Let's move over to Potomac. What do you guys think of the whole Michael Darby scandal? Were you surprised, Megan?
I don't know. I mean, I have a lot of thoughts and I go back and forth. Like, Eric and I have this conversation on the podcast a lot.
There's a really big question mark on that situation with his sexuality, I think.
Now, Megan, I've talked to a lot of like my girlfriends who say that like if their guy happened to be bi or happened to also be interested in men, that would be a deal breaker for them. Where's your stance on that? If like you were dating a guy that happened to be interested in men?
That's such a loaded question.
Megan is married, by the way.
Yeah. I guess I would say that would be my dream come true. I'm always trying to get my husband to be a little gayer. So I'd be okay with it. But yeah, I think that's a conversation you should probably have before you get married.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move into our number one biggest headline this year, and that was the whole Teresa, Joe, Giudice. Like, there's just so much that happened between the two of them this year, from, you know, the whole drama that went down with ICE, to him leaving to Italy, to now, I mean, they've obviously taped a special for Bravo together. I guess the biggest question is, do either of you guys think that, maybe we'll start with you, Megan, do either of you guys think that they are going to stay together, especially since we see Joe being so thirsty in her Instagram comments? It seems like he's interested in her, but I mean, when she has all these 21-year-old boyfriends, like, it kind of sounds like she might be done with it. What do you think, Megan? Is there hope for them?
It's confusing as a fan, because watching that Watch What Happens Live special with them, I would have said, no way.
Yeah.
Like, they will never get back together. But he isn't leaving these comments, and it did, you know, just the photos, like, I can't wait to see the actual footage of what they got.
Yeah.
But it seems like things are in a better place, but at the same time, unless he mentioned this in the Watch What Happens Live special, he could move to Canada, let's say, and then he's not so far. Like, Teresa and the kids could live there, and it would make for a much easier commuting on Teresa's
part.
Oh,
yeah.
But then I feel like then no more Jersey Housewives, and I don't know if she'd be ready to give that up. So there's a lot of layers to it, and I have no idea how someone even deals with that situation.
I know, they've been together for so long, and like, he was the rock, and like, he was her whole world.
Yeah. I mean, I think Teresa has changed a lot in the last couple of years. And, you know, my prediction at this point is that they are not going to get back together. You know, I mean, and it makes sense. Like, they've been apart for so long, and they really do fundamentally love each other. And we know that, but it's like, you know, like Megan was saying, kind of like the logistics of it. Like, how do they actually make something like this work? Like, I think it's just one of those things where the circumstances are too much, and they're not going to be able to be together like a married couple really ever again. Yeah. So, you know, it seems like there's still an amount of loyalty that they both have towards each other. So I don't know, but I don't see a way for it to really, really work at the end of the day.
Yeah, we are never, ever, ever getting back together.
I mean, truly, you know?
Yeah, I think at this point, like, it's just, it's donezo. There's no way they can realistically be together. I mean, even if he did move to Canada, I think she's over it at this point. I think she has a lot of, you know, feelings that she hasn't really processed yet that are slowly starting to come out. And it's a lot. It's a lot, Teresa. Do you know? Yes. Well, thank you guys so much for... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just gonna say, what's even worse is, like, regardless of their relationship, it's just sad at the end of the day, too, that, like, it's the daughters, really, who are suffering. Kind of the most, you know? Yeah.
I know. Poor Melania. She just wants to grow up.
I know. I
just want to grow up. I got plans to blow up. Mama said it ain't easy, but I don't care. So what? Oh, my God. That's my favorite jam. You have no idea how many times I listen to that.
In the office, we play it all the time.
Yeah.
It's legit my favorite housewife song ever.
It's a really good song.
And it's not even by a housewife. I love it.
I mean, I'm going to say that probably the best part of 2019 was... I can't wait to grow up.
I hope we get more music from Melania in 2020.
Me too. A big thank you to Zach Peters for having us to be on his podcast, No Filter. It was super fun.
Be sure to check out No Filter anywhere and everywhere you listen to podcasts, and follow him on Instagram and Twitter at @JustPlainZach.
His show also has their own Instagram as well. It's No Filter with Zach.
And we'll be back with our regularly scheduled episode this Thursday.
Bye.
Bye.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays.
You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.